When it comes to the lean executive recruiting landscape, staying ahead means staying informed. Subscribing to the Stiles Associates email list gives you access to the latest compensation data, industry analysis, and career resources straight from their recruiting team. Plus, you'll receive hand-picked career opportunities from leading companies, whether you're seeking new challenges or just curious about the market. So head over to leanexecs.com and sign up to get on the Stiles Associates email list and transform the way you make strategic decisions for your company and your career. Thanks for listening. Did you know I can help your organization on this journey of cultivating a culture of learning and innovation? I can be a trainer, coach, and advisor on topics including psychological safety, problem solving, and continuous improvement. I can add value to your management team meetings by speaking and facilitating discussions on these important topics. To learn more, visit markgraben.com or email me, mark@markgraben.com. Let's improve together.
Welcome to the Lean Blog Podcast. Visit our website at www.leanblog.org. Now, here's your host, Mark Graben.
Hello, this is Jamie Flinchbaugh of the Lean Learning Center, guest hosting on the Lean Blog Podcast for Mark Graben. And we have a special guest with us. It is, in fact, Lean Blog Podcast and blog founder, Mark Graben. So welcome, Mark.
Hi, Jamie. Thanks, and I appreciate you taking over for the episode.
Absolutely. Well, this is a special event, your 50th podcast, so we thought we'd turn the tables and let you be interviewed and be the subject of this podcast. So, for starters, did you ever think you would get to 50 podcasts?
No, I didn't, and thanks for signing me up for another 50, but it's been a really enjoyable experience these 2 years. I give all the credit for even coming up with the idea to a good friend of the podcast, Norman Bodak, where he was, we had done some Q&A on the blog and kind of typed out emailed form, and he said, well, we should do a radio interview, as he called it. And I thought, well, I think what we really need to do is make it a podcast. And so he was the first guest, and then you came on, and I've ended up doing now 50 of them over 2 years with a lot of different guests and a lot of good topics.
Absolutely, and Norman's always thinking. So certainly he's been a guest several times. So you've had a wide range of guests. Was there a favorite guest or a favorite topic that you've covered in these podcasts?
I don't know. It's hard to pick out a favorite. I think it's just been a real thrill to actually get to speak to some of the authors of the books we've all read, and I think the nicest feedback I've gotten from people is just the thanks for kind of being able to hear the author in their own voice, whether it's yourself or Jeff Liker or Jim Womack. And I mean, it's been a thrill to have kind of an all-star cast, and even some it's been a real thrill even to bring some voices to people. Maybe they're getting introduced to them for the first time. It's kind of hard to, I don't want to leave anybody out, but I mean, I think it's been a nice mix of people that the listeners already knew, and kind of maybe discovering some new people that they hadn't heard of yet.
Yeah, you certainly have brought authors and others alike to many listeners and readers, and that kind of comes us back to the podcast is really an extension out of the blog, which has been going on for even longer, leanblog.org. So, take us back to the beginning of that. Why did you even get started in all of this, starting with the blog?
Yeah, it started right about January 2005, and it was kind of an offshoot of me doing my usual reading and trying to keep up on lean articles and industry news, and I developed a bit of a habit of just emailing out articles or links to people I worked with at the company I was with at the time, and people that had gone through lean courses with me, and even people I knew from going back to MIT and other places, kind of, my own lean network. I was emailing articles out and, stumbled across, the idea of blogs, which were already established in different areas back then. And I thought, well, instead of pushing emails out to people, I could do the same thing on a blog, put a link to an article, give me a chance to add some comments and some ideas there and put it out there at a blog where people could go and I guess in a way pull the blog and those articles down to them instead of having it pushed to them in email. So it started off originally just as a different technology of different technological solution for kind of archiving and sending articles out to people. And I think that the great thing that's developed is I think some sense of community and interaction that I certainly didn't anticipate when I first started kind of putting articles out there. So it's kind of I think it's neat to see how it's evolved. I can't say it was all completely planned out or intentional back there in early 2005.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine planning out your own blog, let alone even where the blogosphere has gone in that amount of time. And you've experienced you have guest writers, online conversations, surveys, now podcasts, and even technical difficulties over the years. So, what have you learned? The whole process of reaching out to people through blogging and podcasts. What have you learned about that whole process through this experience?
I think one thing I've learned, and this is something I've always tried to encourage other people to do, is that is creating a blog and establishing a presence online is, again, in hindsight, a great way to, I think, to gain some career opportunities through exposure and becoming more known in the blog community. Again, I think that was something that just kind of evolved and something I stumbled into. But I think the networking opportunities that have come out of having the blog and the website is certainly been a great benefit and something I've really enjoyed of getting. It's kind of an excuse to reach out to people and say, well, let me interview you for the blog to establish closer relationships, to get to know people like Norm Bodek and even to get to know people who leave comments or email me through the blog. I mean, there's people all over the place that I consider friends outside of just the blog space, people that I've been able to share ideas with and continue my own learning down my own lean journey. I think that type of interaction isn't something I expected, and I've always considered the blog something I do for my own learning's sake, and the fact that other people enjoy it and get something out of it is just a huge plus beside that.
Absolutely, that's great. We actually have gotten to follow some of your career through the blog, and we'll kind of come back to that in a little bit. But I'm sure. So that's some lessons about the reaching out to the audiences. I'm sure you also learned a lot about Lean. I know that I write a monthly column for Assembly Magazine, and that's really helped me sharpen my own saw about understanding Lean and specific content. And you write almost daily. So how has the blog and the podcast helped you really learn more about Lean, and how's that shaped your Lean thinking?
Well, I think it's helped in a couple different ways. I mean, just personality-wise, I'm a fairly classic Myers-Briggs introvert, if people are familiar with that scale and personality.
I'm sure many are.
Profiling. I'm a talkative introvert, I think, but I really am the type of person who I think needs time to internalize ideas and thoughts. And the blog, I think the discipline of spending half an hour a day of reading articles and deciding what to write about and having articulating something out in writing helps me learn, because I think the more you have to try to articulate and explain things and different ways. I mean, I think it's translated to my ability to do training and presentations and explain Lean concepts through the course of my day job. So I think just that practice and articulating the lean concepts, and then also just the discipline of, you know, kind of forcing myself to keep up on, you know, what's going on there, you know, out in the lean news, and sort of trying to keep up with the latest books. And I mean, those are certainly things I enjoy doing, but the, you know, I guess kind of sense of obligation to the blog really kind of forces me to keep up on that, which has been, I think, a good thing.
Absolutely. So any big surprises? I'm sure you've seen lots of things throughout this blogging and podcasting experience. Any big surprises that you have come to mind?
Well, it's fine. There's one thing, I guess, you know, a good surprise. There's a very nice collaborative, friendly network of lean bloggers out there. I'm sure a lot of people who read my blog read a lot of the same blogs, and you know, I link to them on my site. And again, for the risk of leaving somebody out, I'll just invite people to take a look at the list of blogs that I list on my site. And you know, the level of interaction and cooperation with the other bloggers is really outstanding. The fact that nobody is sniping at each other or being really competitive. I mean, I think people, you know, share ideas and links and articles back and forth. So that's a really nice thing to see, you know, develop within that community. And I know some of those bloggers, you know, get, you know, angry emails or, you know, even, you know, abusive type emails. And so I guess maybe I'll count this as a positive surprise that I can only think maybe of one time that I got an email that was you know that I would put in the abusive category. So I don't know what it would chalk that up to, but I mean, I think it kind of speaks to the healthy collaboration with you know, within the lean community and trying to keep things on a real civil, collaborative, friendly tone within the blog. I think for the most part, been able to kind of, you know, achieve that goal where, even though I know there's times where, you know, I've criticized myself for this, there's times where I get complainy or I kind of harp on a topic or you kind of go through a negative cycle. You know, I'm glad that the comments and discussion on the blog for the most part doesn't devolve into a lot of, you know, name calling or criticism. So I'm happy that it's kind of, you know, I think for the most part evolved along, you know, with that type of tone.
Well, I'm sure most people appreciate, you know, seeing the bloggers come through and seeing your own opinions come through and not being overly edited, which is very easy to end up at. So that's great. So let's come back to your career. It's you've had lots of different lives throughout your lean experience. What even got you into lean in the first place?
Well, I kind of trace, I think, some of the original spark back to growing up in the Detroit suburbs. You know, my dad has been in the auto industry his whole career. And, you know, he came home from work one day. I must have been early high school, I think. And he came home talking about this guy named Deming and was going on and on. My dad, of course, had been going through the four-day, the famous Dr. Deming four-day seminar series. And was really, singing Dr. Deming's praises. And, you know, I think kind of that initial introduction of those ideas kind of laid some of the groundwork where then as a undergrad studying industrial engineering, you know, you get some exposure to lean and the operations management 101 courses, kind of at the level of detail. At least as it was being taught, was, you know, MRP bad, lean good. You know, kind of predisposing, you know, as this, you know, somebody coming into the working world, that lean was a good thing. You know, when I, you know, took my first job out of college at General Motors, initially into that, we had a team of people who had been hired in from headquarters, people from Toyota suppliers and from Nissan and American Ozaki and other companies that were kind of thrown in to be internal lean consultants for the plant. And, you know, the way organizations tend to go, the plant management really didn't want the help. It was just kind of thrown at them as free help. And you had these you know, lean consultants speaking, you know, unfamiliar terms and unfamiliar concepts. But those people were really influential to me, where they, you know, they unfortunately had some time on their hands because they weren't being utilized really well. And a lot of them coached and mentored me, and really can, you know, open my eyes to, you know, not only seeing kind of the struggles of what was going wrong in our plant at the time, but seeing, you know, kind of emphasizing how things could be done differently and how they were done differently in other environments. And then I think the thing that really solidified in my mind that lean was powerful and I wanted to work with this was when we did get a new plant manager who was a longtime GM manager who had gone through training at NUMMI in California. He was one of the first GM people to work out there. So he had definitely come around to fully embrace the Toyota production system, even though we couldn't call it that, and to embrace lean, even though we couldn't call it lean either. You know, he came in and really set a great example in terms of being a leader, helping emphasize that, you know, we needed to manage in a different way, start listening to people, and, you know, to start seeing how that plant was making progress and turning around and the impact that was having on people's work lives was really powerful, and I think kind of inspired me to want to be able to do that, you know, throughout my career, to help turn people around from the old mindset of, you know, the old check your brain at the door mentality, and really, you know, not just improve how things, you know, the improve the performance of operations, but, you know, to see what an impact that can have on people's on their life and their enjoyment of work, and you know, so that was, I think those were some of the early experiences that kind of, you know, sent me down that path.
That's interesting. We certainly, you know, we certainly talk mostly about the performance gains you get out of lean, but it does seem that an awful lot of people are drawn to it because of the personal engagement, the emotional and the involvement factors that are some of the what's missing that draws people to get started in lean, much similar stories to your own.
Yeah.
So, you know, lean from automotive, you have a few other stints along the way, but the automotive industry really started getting lean. It started in healthcare many years ago, over 10 years ago now, but that's not really the route you traveled to get to lean in healthcare. So what got you into lean in healthcare, coming all the way from what seems like pretty far away manufacturing?
Well, you know, I think it's a somewhat fortunate opportunity I stumbled into when I was living in Phoenix. We had a kind of informal collaborative of people who worked at different companies, different industries in the Phoenix area that were all working on lean, combination of, you know, some really well-known companies and some local companies. And about once a quarter, we would get together and do a site visit and kind of compare notes and walk somebody else's Gemba and give feedback and see what other people were doing. And one of those Gemba visits was at, of all places, a hospital in Scottsdale. And it was a hospital that had started implementing lean in their emergency department. And you could very visibly see, you know, lean methods and lean tools that were in place. You could see they had, you know, standardized treatment rooms and used 5S and we're doing things to take waste out of the process. But then to hear them describe, you know, what kind of impact that was actually having on patients, that people didn't have to wait as long to be seen by a doctor, or they didn't have to wait as long to be admitted into the hospital. That was really eye-opening, really exciting stuff. So I started just kind of reading about it, and I'm sure I blogged about the topic a little bit, and kind of roundabout way, when my wife had a career opportunity out here in Texas, where we live now, we were going to move for her career, and that meant I had to change jobs, and you know, coincidentally got contacted by a recruiter to join the firm I'm with to do consulting with hospitals using lean methods out there. So I don't know if you call it fate or things happen for a reason, but again, it was just something, you know, I kind of fortunately stumbled into, and an opportunity I was able to take advantage of to make that transition into healthcare. They were looking to hire people specifically with manufacturing backgrounds to supplement a lot of the healthcare and hospital technical experience that they already had.
Yeah, so as we read about on leanblog.org, there's many differences about healthcare, and there's many things that are quite similar. Given how new it is, from your time in healthcare, how fast is healthcare catching up to the other operating fields like manufacturing?
Well, I think it's still a bit of a mixed bag. I think people like myself doing work in the field, I think we're always somewhat impatient where we'd love to see everybody, every hospital adopting lean. There's so much need and opportunity in the thousands of hospitals that we have in the U.S., not to mention the hospitals around the world. I think hospitals are doing, the hospitals that are adapting lean are doing a good job of being open to learning from other industries, especially the early adopters that were working with local manufacturing companies that were helping them, or people who were hiring consultants, who were new to healthcare. I think hospitals are oftentimes taking advantage of some of the lessons learned, where people in manufacturing have been working at this for a couple of decades and trying to avoid some of the traps like having a very tool focused implementation. I think hospital people, generally speaking, are doing a good job of focusing on the people side of the hospital setting, using lean to not just provide benefit for patients or financial benefit for the hospital, but trying to help create a better working environment for the people working in hospitals. So I think that's one area where I think a lot of hospitals are really excelling, making sure that it's not just a tool set, but also incorporating it into the overall organizational vision and strategy. There's some cases of some hospitals like ThetaCare and Virginia Mason, hospitals where lean is absolutely sponsored at the chief executive level, and it really permeates every aspect of the organizational culture. That lean is a supporting methodology to help them do all of the things that they were already working on, improving care, strengthening their financial position, improving quality and safety. And so I think a lot of hospitals are, I think, successfully seeing lean as not just something to implement for the sake of implementing lean, but something that helps them meet their goals and objectives. So then, I encourage people in manufacturing to take a look, in some cases, what their local hospitals are doing and saying, well, if hospitals have leapfrogged, some instances where factories have struggled with lean, that maybe there's an opportunity for factories to bring some of that learning back the other direction.
Yeah, if nothing else, it certainly should inspire some new energies. So you're certainly passionate about the need in healthcare and wanting to drive the success of lean in healthcare. So as an extension of that, you're the soon-to-be author of Phil's book. I co-authored. It's been now 2 years since the Lean Hitchhiker's Guide to Lean, or the Hitchhiker's Guide to Lean, has right. been published, and it's quite an undertaking to write any book. So why'd you decide to write a book?
Well, this was an opportunity that was a positive offshoot of doing the blog. I was fortunate to be referred to Productivity Press as somebody who could write a book for them. Productivity Press is expanding some of their healthcare offerings and was looking for someone to write an overview book about applications of lean in healthcare, and more specifically in hospital settings. It was an opportunity that I'm fortunate as an author that the opportunity came to me, and I thought it's kind of type of thing where if you pass it up, that opportunity might not ever come again. So kind of talking to people who had written books like yourself and trying to get some appreciation for the work involved and making sure my wife was on board with the project. That was one good piece of advice, was to make sure. And thankfully, my wife was very supportive of the project, and the time I spent locked away in the home office on weekends working on the book. It was something I felt honored to have an opportunity to try to help articulate an overview of what is lean, what are some of the good things that are going on out there. And unfortunately, in any book, it's impossible to try to document all of the examples and all the good things that are going on. But I tried to highlight some cases and examples that people maybe hadn't heard of yet, some hospitals that weren't necessarily getting the all of the publicity that some of the other leaders in lean healthcare had been getting. So I had a chance to write the book. It's intended as an overview. If somebody in a hospital at a executive or medical leadership or in any level of management has heard about lean or read an article and think, well, I'd like to dig into this and learn more. My book is intended as an overview to try to help people see what's possible with lean, help them understand how it does apply, that it's not just a factory methodology, and hopefully inspire, I think most importantly, inspire people to take action and start adopting lean within their own organization.
Excellent. Well, according to your own standard work, we're just about out of time, so maybe one last question for you. What do you really hope the book can accomplish?
I think ultimate goal, and it's not just, wouldn't be just because of my book, even though, I hope it contributes to that. I think the goal would be, through all of these efforts that are going on out there would be, for every hospital out there, large or small, to adopt the lessons and methods of lean that certainly those that improve quality and patient safety, if not adopting the whole methodology, because I think healthcare being such an important industry and impacting everybody's life at one point or another, healthcare being a big part of our communities, that everybody deserves top quality, safe, affordable health care. And so I guess my ultimate hope would be that we don't just have pockets of lean excellence here and there. Ultimately, I really hope that lean would become part of the predominant management approach within healthcare. Lean certainly isn't a silver bullet, and I don't think it's a methodology that can fix all of the challenges that we have in healthcare, but it is a powerful methodology, and I think it's a management system that hopefully we'll see adopted more broadly, if not everywhere within healthcare.
Well, fantastic. And for the listeners, you can find leanhospitalsbook.com to find out more about the book. And Mark, thank you for letting me be your guest host and for being my guest on your my session as a guest host.
Well, thanks for guest hosting, and I'm a little. we did the interview. I'm a little uncomfortable making it about myself because my goal with the podcast has always been to do as little talking as possible, so the guests and people can shine. So maybe when it comes time for episode 100, we can do another one of these. Otherwise, I'm looking forward to having yourself and others back on to be the guests for the future podcasts.
Oh, absolutely. And next week we will return to our regularly scheduled and more experienced host, Mark Graben. And for now, to our listeners, best wishes on a successful lean journey.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Lean Blog Podcast. For lean news and commentary updated daily, visit www.leanblog.org. If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, email Mark at leanpodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, podcast listeners. I'm excited to announce the release of the audiobook version of my new book, The Mistakes That Make Us, Cultivating a Culture of Learning and Innovation. Listen and dive into powerful insights on fostering growth through mistakes. Whether you're a leader, entrepreneur, or just trying to get better at learning from mistakes, this audiobook is for you. Get it now on Audible, Amazon, and Apple Books. Visit mistakesbook.com for more info.